Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode with the Four Elements. This is your boy Earth.
This is Wham.
And this is Water.
Yeah, so tonight we're going to have a conversation about can you really, I mean, like for real, do anything that you put your mind to? Or are there limitations to what you can do? So which is an interesting question, and it kind of goes along with the theme of the last couple of shows. A couple of weeks ago, we had a show about if you can go back, would you go back in the past and live your life over? And then last week we had a show about, okay, so the bottom line is you really can't go back. So that was all fantasy. And live your life over. So since we know we can't do that, but what's now? I mean, like, what's next? What do you do now since you can't? So we talked about, you know, how to move forward with what we have right now. We actually have some differing of opinions in that. And one of the opinions was that, you know, basically, you know, we can do whatever we want to do, you know, and we use some sports analogies, and we just have to be able to state or to, what's the word I'm looking for? Declare, that's what I'm looking for, declare what we want. And, you know, take some actions to move in that direction, and we can pretty much get what we want. But, you know, I kind of disagree with that. And, you know, Water, he was like, yeah. He was in agreement with that. So, you know, we just thought about tonight, we just have a show about, you know, can you really do anything you put your mind to, or do you actually have limitations, or do we have limitations? You know, and in my opinion, I think that we do have limitations. I'm clear that there are limitations in what we can do. And then especially, like, when I thought about this topic, it's like, yeah, okay, if somebody wanted to be a doctor, more than likely we can go to undergrad, go to grad school, which would be med school, get our doctorate, pass the exam, pass your boards, and, you know, be certified as an MD. However, I mean, when I think about it, I'm like, okay, are you able, even though you're an MD, does that give you the ability to be the best doctor in the world based on your skill set? Because you could have just taken the boards and just barely passed by one point. And the reality is nobody's going to check and see, like, what your score was on your boards. You know, and I'm not saying that if somebody did that, that doesn't mean that they can't be a great doctor. I'm just making the point that just because you become something that you want to be, that doesn't mean that you have the ability to become the best in that field, in my opinion. But anyway, I'm going to turn it over to the elements. What you got over there, Water? What you got, Wind?
Wow, that's a heck of an intro. The very first thing I'd like to say is that, you know, we created this show for our audience, and we haven't been getting a lot of participation lately, so we hope that you guys participate this week and press 1 to make a comment or insert a question, but we really do want your participation. Wow, that was a heck of an intro. What I would say, what struck me at the beginning of what you said is that if you believe that there are limitations, then you've created limitations from the very set, from the onset. You created barriers to you having the capacity to create just by embracing that there are limitations. And I think that's devastating, actually. The second thing that that struck me is, you know, one of the things that Water and I talked about after the conversation last week, and it's interesting that you brought up doctors and you made the analogy of taking the boards. It seems to me that you may prescribe to what they used to call back in the 80s, 90s, the bell curve theory, where just because you take an exam and are not proven proficient in that exam, that you don't have a mark of intelligence or, as you would say, a skill set, a proficiency in something.
I don't subscribe to that. I was just using that as an example. I was just saying, well, just because you take the exam, you can be someone, and I work with people who are certified in, for instance, Oracle, and for those who don't know what Oracle is a relational database, who are certified in Oracle, and they blew the exams out. I mean, they did very well on the exam. However, I wouldn't necessarily say that they are the best Oracle database administrators, and I've seen people who struggle. So no, I don't subscribe to that. I'll just make an example saying, well, just because you do well on a test, or basically not do well on a test, I mean, that doesn't mean you're going to be a great doctor, or it doesn't even mean that you have the ability to be a great doctor, or the ability to be a great DBA, because I know DBAs who did very well on the on those Oracle exams and passed them, you know, flying colors. But now they're not. When it comes to the practical use of Oracle, they're not that proficient at all.
Yeah, what's interesting is that if you, think about, all the creators, all the inventors, even some of the most wealthy people throughout the generations, none of them really had a formal education. They were tinkerers.
Correct.
They were curious individuals. And they didn't have any barriers to their exploration. They didn't put any limits to themselves. And they actually expanded, human knowledge, human capacity, on the earth.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And as we both know, most of your millionaires, billionaires barely have a college, barely have a high school diploma, and many of them don't at all. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, for them, they fell into, they naturally fell into something that they're good at. That's just how I look at it. And everybody's not good at everything. That's just a fact. I've just seen it too many times with some concepts is very difficult for people to grasp. And they're concepts that are very difficult for me to grasp. I can grasp a concept, but it may take me a whole lot longer to grasp something than somebody else. But other things, for me, like anything around in the realm of science, mathematics, engineering, like I grasp that stuff really easily. To me, it's always been a no-brainer. But there's other areas where I've just struggled for whatever reason. And, like I said, there are other people that I know who struggle in the math and sciences. and it's not for it's not you know from a lack of effort. You know, it's just something
so
that they just don't grasp. Go ahead.
So what I'm hearing from you is that if you have a natural propensity to, in mathematics, for example, yet you have a desire to be an artist, you won't necessarily be an artist because that's not
No,
your,
you can be an artist. No, go ahead.
You can be an artist, but that probably is not your optimal area.
Correct.
And it doesn't matter how much you think or dream or fantasize, that's just not your area.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And you'll become better with practice. Definitely.
But you're just saying that you can't become world class. You can't become the best.
Right. I think you'll hit a ceiling. Now, unless someone, you know, in art is kind of subjective, right? So unless, because I've seen art, I'm like, people pay $100,000 for this? Foolishness? And maybe I just don't have an eye for art. But some art, I'm like, nah, I wouldn't pay $10 for this. You know, and maybe I just don't know what I'm looking at. I have no clue. So, you know, art, even though it's subjective, you know, there are people who are just phenomenal artists. I mean, there's no training behind initially knowing how to draw, you know, and I know all of you have met people like that, you know, from the time you were in elementary, you saw the people who could just draw really well. And unfortunately, I wasn't one of those people. But yeah, you just saw there were just people that had this like really natural talent for art. You know, it's just, and the same thing, you know, well, I was going to say singing, but singing is well, I'm going to say singing. I'm not going to say entertaining. So with singing itself, I can aspire to be a singer, and of course, if I go to voice lessons, my voice will improve, but I'll hit a ceiling. But I can't sing, y'all, just to let you know. I'll hit a ceiling. I won't sing like Maxwell or any of the other great singers. My mind is going blank. But yeah, I won't sing like Maxwell.
You'll never be a Luther Vandross.
Right, exactly. Maybe in the shower, kind of, sort of, maybe.
But, with your own ear.
No. Right. Exactly. Which I think, for me, that's the beauty of being human, is that everybody can't do everything. Because if everybody could do everything, then, you know, it's just, to me, it'd be kind of boring.
I don't know, Irv. I mean, we had this conversation last week, man, and I mean, I don't necessarily, because really what I'm hearing you say is that we have predispositions to being able to accomplish things. That's really what I'm hearing you say, and I just don't really, I can't see that. Because what you're telling me is that people come into this world or develop at a certain point to a point of where they're limited. And outside of, like we said, like I said last week, outside of like your physical limitations of a professional athlete, you know, I can't really see where that actually would hold weight. Not to say that you're wrong, but I just can't, like, I'm still not getting that.
Well, I mean, I don't subscribe to, and I don't know if this is what you're saying, I don't subscribe to us coming into this world like a blank slate. I don't subscribe to that. I don't. To me, that's foolishness. This is my personal opinion. Like, I don't believe
right,
we come
so
into this
saying
world
that we,
with
let
a blank
me make sure
slate.
You're saying that we come in and we have these predispositions or whatever.
No, we not predispositions. We come in with a skill set. Now, whether or not that skill set can be actualized and exercised, it depends on your environment. It depends on, you know, the community you live in. That's definitely a factor also. But yeah, I definitely believe that we come with a high propensity to learn certain things well and certain things not. I mean, nobody taught me. I mean, of course, I had training in mathematics and the sciences, in the engineering area. But it's like when I learned how to program, nobody taught me how to do that. I sat there, and to me, it was easy to figure out. And my sister looked at it, and she was like, "Oh, what's this? It looked like Greek to her." You put the average person in front of a software application, it's going to look like Greek. But, you know, I was 10, and I sat there and read a programming book, and it was easy. Like, oh, okay, this is not difficult. So nobody taught me that. Now, I believe that I came in with a certain skill set to understand logic in a certain way, because nobody was teaching me logic. I was just a kid outside doing whatever I was doing, playing and, you know, getting in trouble and whatever else kids do from the age of 0 to 10. And one day I just saw a commercial for advertising a computer, and I asked for a computer for my birthday. That was it. And even at that point, I had never looked at code, software code, ever. Didn't know what it looked like. Didn't even know that you had to program a computer to make stuff happen. I just saw the commercial and it looked cool. That was it.
Yeah, but I mean, what you're trying to tell, well, I guess really what I'm hearing from you is that there's certain things that I want to do that I don't have a physical limitation based upon you're saying that I cannot be the best. Just to make sure I understand correctly what you're saying.
I would say that there's a ceiling, and of course there's a ceiling for everybody. And I'm not saying whether you can or can't be the best, because even in the world of being the best, that's actually subjective.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to drill down what you're saying, because I'm not really clear about. I'm clear that you think that we have limitations, but I'm not clear about what you're saying they are.
Well, okay. Let me back up. We have limitations, right? Centered around the skill set that we came into this lifetime with. And we use athletics as an example. We have physical limitations. And, of course, people don't like to go into the whole mental part, but we have mental limitations as well. There are things that I can do that other people can't do. And if I say it, people think it's crazy. Like, how many people you know actually get messages from dead people? I didn't wake up one morning and say, I want to train to do that. Like, if a relative or a friend relative comes to me and says something, I didn't ask for that. And there are other people who have limitations around that who don't get anything on that level. And I know people who have that ability on different levels. Like, I get a message and I get an image of the person mentally. I know of other people who actually see shadows and who actually see a shadowy figure. I don't see that. But nevertheless, they get the message.
Is this something from birth, or was this something from childhood? At what point did they actually have that capacity?
I can't tell you. I can only speak for myself. So I haven't But, well, let me back up. I can speak for myself and the people that I've talked to that can do it. They've always been able to do it for as long as they can remember. Now, whether they verbalize it, that's a whole nother conversation because I never said anything about it. And as we age, there's certain skill sets that kick in as we age. You may have them, but they actually will kick in and become stronger as we age.
Like
in the same way that we become faster and faster as we age. You're not going to find a 3-year-old running a sub 1,000 meters. Not.
Yeah, that's
okay,
what I was going to say is that when you're a child, you begin to focus on certain things. And if you grab onto something, that focus can be greater and greater as time goes, and then you are in the flow of that certain thing. And that's what lends you to become proficient. But I'm not so sure. You're saying that some people are just born with certain things. That might be true.
And the best example I can think of that people can relate to is physical athletic ability. If you just start training from a child to become proficient at that, then everybody, you have not everybody, but you have a lot more people able to do it.
So you're saying that their training just added on to their capacity, their gift?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
It helps you to maximize that capacity to whatever your ceiling is. Because it's not unlimited. Because unlimited, you have people running sub 1 second, 100 meters. So there's a ceiling, but what's your ceiling?
So just to go back to your musical analogy, let's take Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston sang in the church. She took lessons, but she had a natural gift, and you know, because of that cultivation, she became who she became. But you're saying that she was born with a beautiful gift of a great voice and song.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
And so my question to you then, Earth, is, so do you think that somebody who they don't have that at all, like somebody they have no ear, no voice, no anything, you're saying that it's not possible for them to become a Whitney?
Well, from a star perspective, or are you mean from a voice perspective? Because there's a distinction. Like I said earlier, there's the entertainment side.
Are there artists out there that
I don't think can sing? That's just me personally. And people love them or have loved them. And there are people who can just outright sing. They just have this phenomenal voice. Now, do I think if a person who has no vocal skills, they can develop that type of voice? Absolutely not. Now, can they become as popular or as famous as, say, a Whitney Houston? Absolutely, because that's subjective. But your voice isn't. Either you have a beautiful voice or you don't. I mean, that's black and white. It's like any talent. Either you have it or you don't. Anything that's rooted out of nature, there's no middle ground. There's only degrees of you do or you don't. That's it.
Right. Yeah, I guess the basis of all my questions have been, you know, because Wynn and I, we both read Talent is Overrated. It's another book. called The Talent Code and a third book called Outliers. And all three of these books are basically saying that, you know, they've gone through and they've kind of done the research and they've got these scientific studies about how like your Tom Brady's and Jerry Rice, Tiger Woods, all of these people, none of them had natural talent. Like,
that's a lie.
They all of them had talent that was nurtured from X amount of time.
That's a lie.
And so what I'm saying is, I guess really Tiger is a good example because Tiger's dad had Tiger holding the golf club before Tiger's hands could actually wrap around the golf club. Like, he had the little plastic joint and insane amount of time. And really what the talent, like all three of those books are all about, they have a concept where they call it 10,000 hours. You put your 10,000 hours in and you will become an expert. But it's not just 10,000 hours of just any old practice. It's 10,000 hours of deliberate, specific, they call it deliberate practice, but practice where you're actually working on things like proper form and, you know, fundamental type things. And so that's really the basis of these books. And, you know, they go through it, and I was telling Wind about it. I think it's in The Talent Code. There is he was like a PhD kind of guy, and he was like a social type scientist, and he said, look, I've discovered it. I've discovered how you make people great. And he said, okay, I'm looking for a wife because, you know, this woman that I'm going to marry, we're going to have children and we're going to make them great at something. And we will decide together what we make them great at. Well, they had three daughters and they chose chess. And basically, neither of the parents knew much about chess, but they came up with the curriculum and training and all this stuff. And so what ended up happening is the first daughter was good, the second daughter was better, and the third one became the top female chess player. And she's like 30, maybe less than 40. But she became the top, at her peak, she became the top female chess player in the world. And basically what he was, like, his, like, the father, and I guess the mother, because she, you know, she was part of the whole experiment too, they basically, you know, they made their family as a living experiment for that, where they took three daughters and made them great at chess. So really, you know, like, what the reason why I was asking all those questions is because, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that sounds like something like I want to talk to dead people and I want to receive messages, like a metaphysical type thing. You know, I can't really argue that because, you know, that's not really something cut and dry that even people agree on that even happens. So
that's
we won't
relative.
Use.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Everything's relative. Everything's relative. I mean,
it's relative to your community. You can go many places in the world where that's valid.
I get that, and I'm not saying it's not valid.
There's so many things it's not valid. So you can't, like, I get what you're saying, but I don't know. Go ahead. I just don't agree with saying that, oh, okay, because it's, and you may not be saying this, and I don't know if they're saying this in the book, but I've heard about the 10,000 hours before. I promise you, you can go out and start singing right now, take your 10,000 hours, and you will never sound like Maxwell. Unless you can already, I don't know if you can sing or not, but if you can't sing, you can go ahead and take singing lessons, do whatever you need to do for 10,000 hours. I promise you won't sound like him. You won't sound like Luther Vandross. I promise you won't.
Well,
it's just not going to happen.
Right, and I hear what you're saying. Well, what they're saying is these people, they actually did put 10,000 hours of thinking in. That's how they got to be Maxwell or Luther. And if you take somebody else and you put them 10,000, and I mean, you know, and people who are into singing, I know very little about singing, but I do know that vocal cords, and they get damaged and stuff like that. So whatever, you know, like over the course of time, like I don't think that what I'm saying is I haven't done it myself. But according to, you know, this whole study, because it's a whole study now, it's a field of study, that you could take children and as long as they actually went through the 10,000 hours without damaging their vocal cords, yeah, you could have them sound like Maxwell Lewis. But it would have to be a specific type. It would have to be a specific type of practice, and they did it. They went around to, you know, study like musicians, like classical type musicians that play violin and cello and those kinds of things. They went into the place they call them hotbeds. They went into these hotbeds where people are producing top talent all the time. And they went into, like, you know, these Russian tennis places where they're producing people like Maria Sharapova and, you know, all of these people who are coming out, Anna Kournikova, all these people who are coming out, they're coming from the same exact teacher. And so what they went and they started studying the teachers of how the teachers are doing it. And at the end of the day, what they started talking about is it's a nurture thing. It's not a nature thing. Go ahead, Wayne.
Although I was going to say, I think that Earth would probably still argue that fact and say that those individuals as children still had a gift, and that gift was nurtured over time, over those 10,000 hours, and they gained mastery and actually expressed themselves optimally after those 10,000 hours of practice. But they still originally had some type of gift, some propensity to that particular area.
Yeah, I would say that because I didn't, you know, I haven't read the book, but my thing is how many people have put their 10,000 hours in and did not become masters to a high to whatever degree. You're going to definitely improve on whatever skill set you have, but there's a ceiling that you're going to hit. And only the people with the high ceiling, those are the people who maximize that. It's just like the guy in his three doors is a perfect example. Well, I don't say it's a perfect example, but it's a good example. We had three daughters. Well, why didn't all three daughters excel the same?
Well, they explained
Like one was okay.
Yeah,
one...
They explained it. So the first one was good, the second was better, and the third was the great. Because they didn't know anything about chess, and what they found is they found two things were happening. They found out that number one, the daughters were the curriculum got better. By the third time, the curriculum was like tightened up because the first one they were making everything up on the fly. By the third one she was playing great chess players as a very, very young child in her own, like she had like exposure and experience to basically get a higher quality 1,000 hours, basically. And the second thing that I was going to say, man, is that, you know, when it comes to the people who put the 10,000 hours in and don't make it, like to me, that's just goes back to what we're saying, their belief in their self-image. Even though they put the work in, they just don't believe it. And there's some people who, they just believe. Like, they put the work in, and they believe. And, like, that's just my personal, I understand this is a philosophical, you know, everybody's got their stance, you know, on, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that what the angle that I come from is that the people who don't make it 1,000 hours in, their self-image doesn't match that they are great. Your self-image is something else. And it even happened with these chess players. They didn't want to do it anymore at a certain point. They were done. They had been doing it since they could remember. And it's the same thing with Tiger. Tiger's dad, Tiger never came in showing any kind of propensity to play golf. His dad forced golf on him. That's just the way that it was. And he became Tiger Woods. Now, we could sit here and argue that I don't know how we could ever say whether Tiger came in with some kind of skill set to play golf or not, but what the written history of Tiger's life is that his dad had a golf club in his hand when he was like, before he was walking, had a golf club. You know, he was chewing, it was one of those, he was chewing on the plastic golf club thing, and, you know, he just kind of
had them playing golf, had them playing golf, had them playing golf. And before you know it, and they go through multiple cases of people who actually did it. And I agree with you that there are plenty who put 10,000 hours in and don't. But just my personal like take on it is that they don't believe it. Like, they don't believe that they're actually great. Or it's been forced on them, and they just really don't have it. Like, they don't want to do it anymore. Stuff young, they just get burned out on it. They never wanted to do that. That was what their parents wanted them. And some, they actually do it, and then they get good at it, and they say, well, you know what? This is what I want to do. I'm good at it already, and they go on to become great.
See, this is where I have a problem. The problem I have is saying that, oh, Jerry Rice had no physical ability. Oh, Tiger Woods had no physical ability. Oh, Tom Brady had no physical ability. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that you sit there and you just develop some physical ability by just putting in 10,000 hours. Because there are people who put the 10,000 hours in, and their ability only goes, they have, I don't care how much confidence they have, their ability is going to go only to whatever that ceiling is for that ability. You can't have a one-year-old, you start training them, you could have a one-year-old and start training them. But the point I'm making is that if you start training a child, that doesn't mean that child is going to develop even before they get before they start to understand that, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to do this. Oh, wait a minute, my confidence is terrible. Or my self-image, or however you phrase that, is terrible. They're only going to develop to a certain level. That's just my take on it. And that's just based on my personal experience and observation, not from some hypothetical something. If you ever go out to any, I don't know how often you're around kids, you ever go out to any setting where there are kids, you can see right away. And now, granted, some kids, like I said earlier, sometimes some things kick in later in life. They don't kick in right away. Kick in a lot later.
What do you think, Wayne?
I think that one of the things that's missing in the argument is what I brought up last week or a couple of weeks ago, is desire, perseverance, and a staunch belief that you can do whatever you want to do. I think those are critical components to succeeding. But you know, everybody's success is not going to be the same. Like Tom Brady and Donovan McNabb, their success is going to be different. They're different individuals, but they are great quarterbacks.
I don't think Michael Vick got it one day and said, "Let me practice on running fast." He already knew he could run fast. I'm sure when he was a kid, he didn't get up one day and say, "Oh, let me practice throwing." You figure that stuff out when you're a kid. Who can throw?
Talking. You got
10,000 hours of having self-image, confidence. You're just sitting around as kids throwing the ball around. And everybody's trying to throw as hard as they can, and you see instantly, wow, this guy can throw. Or this guy is fast and this guy is not. And I doubt if any kid at that point has put in 10,000 hours of practicing any of those skills.
You can easily see when some people, you know, have it and some people don't have it. I agree.
So I'm a huge proponent of the 10,000 hours. But all the philosophy behind the 10,000 hours, I don't agree with. Because the 10,000 hours is nothing but practice. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're entitled to that. I mean, I think really for me what I was saying is I don't see us having limitations outside of, like I said, physical limitations. Yeah, but when you're talking about becoming like a great CEO, great leader, you know, great anything, there's skill to be learned, and then there's something greater that takes over, and I think that greater thing that takes over is in all of us. So I don't really see that limitation that you see it. Hey, I mean, it's cool. Honestly, if you're doing something in the background, somebody's really loud. But I'd rather hear from my audience where, you know, somebody press one. Basically, if you have either a different spin or you're hearing something maybe that we're not actually a viewpoint we're not looking at, or a side of the, you know, the coin we're not looking at, because like Wynn was saying, I mean, this show, we do this for you as our listeners. We don't really do this for ourselves. And, you know, we really, really love some feedback on this one, especially because it's not every week that the elements are not in agreement. So, yeah, definitely press one if that's something that you have.
Yeah, I think that what Earth is saying is that there's a such thing as mastery, but then there's a such thing as a true gift, and where you soar above all others. So you can do your 10,000 and be a master and be proficient and be great. But there are those individuals that just simply have it and that are extraordinary. Would that be accurate, Earth?
No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what
I'm saying. I agree with that.
So, looks like nobody has any questions or comments as of yet. So I don't know if they're thinking about it, possibly, but just press one and we'll take your call right away. So I do believe, like for me, pretty much everything that I've put my mind to, I've had the opportunity to succeed in that area to some level. I don't know what the level has been, because some things I just did not pursue. So I think that anything you put your mind to, yeah, the opportunity will present itself. Absolutely. And then once the opportunity presents itself, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So once the opportunity presents itself, that's when, to me, all of the desire and your natural skill set and your self-confidence, that's when all that stuff comes into play. So I see the topic of the show, like my view of it is, yes, you can have the opportunity to do anything you want to do, because that doesn't, like the ability to do that doesn't discriminate. And of course, there's some circumstances. I'm not talking about people who are in extreme circumstances, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying the average person is walking around today. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just interesting. I'm closing my eyes and just thinking back in history and all these great people. It's real interesting that even though their legacy is being extraordinary and great, that in the moment of their careers, many of them never really perceived themselves as being as great as history provides for them. it was always a tug of war, a fight to be better, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. I can see that, certainly. Because for them, I would imagine, for most people, you're just doing whatever you're doing and not really taking into consideration, oh, what I'm doing is great. And most of those people have probably loved what they were doing. So it doesn't, so things that you love and you're doing them occurs easy. Or it occurs like, oh, this is just what I'm doing.
What's also interesting is that, if we strip it all down, it wouldn't be great unless they had an audience to see it. You know,
exactly.
It took a lot of people to make them who they became.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you mention that because that's one of the one of the principles in the Dogra community around community. And, you know, one of their principles is your gifts can only be used within the context or within the structure of community. So this is pretty much what you just said. If you don't have people to acknowledge those gifts, then the probability of you being able to use them is not high.
So let me ask you this. Are you cognizant and absolutely clear about your competitive advantage in this world, your gift, your true gift, where you operate on a whole different plane than, you know, other people?
Not in its totality, no, because sometimes people say things and I'm like, oh, okay. I just don't see it. And then until somebody brings it to my attention, then I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So it's just like those people that we just talked about. They didn't necessarily realize it until somebody else, you know, supported it.
Right, exactly.
So now that you've had some people, you know, tell you, what are you going to do with those gifts? What's your intent with what you've been told? Is it something that you want to put energy in for a lifetime or for a significant piece of time to, you know, really soar?
Yeah, I mean, some of the gifts, some of the things people have said, I'm actually, you know, exploring those things heavily now. And most of those things are like around, you know, the spiritual aspect of the gifts, some of the gifts I have.
What about you, Water? What are you putting your 10,000 hours to?
Oh, man. Put my 10,000 hours to becoming the greatest showman on earth. Oh, you know, I mean, really, man, it's all about developing my entrepreneurial skills. And, you know, for those who are just like, okay, so what does that mean? That means my actual ability to build business. And so for me, my business is to go into businesses and help them build their business. And eventually what I want to actually use that talent and skill for is to just go in and buy businesses, turn them around, just become a turnaround expert, go and buy low, sell high. And for me, that just feels natural. Earth, unfortunately, bro. I had no propensity for that ever when I was younger. And here I am, you know, damn near 40 doing it. So, you know, maybe I'm just the exception to the rule over here. Maybe that's what it is.
Do you?
So, I don't think that you would have propensity necessarily to buy businesses and sell them young. Some people may, but that sounds like it. You know, initially, you know, it falls into like the scenario that I mentioned earlier, where okay, you speak something that you want, and then the opportunity presents itself. And then that's where the desire, skill set, all that stuff, however you want to organize that, comes into play. I mean, everybody wasn't as clear as Fire when he was a kid, and he said he wanted to play in the NFL. So he started putting in his 10,000 hours early. Still had a skill set to build on. I mean, you can take Gwen Torrence, for example, who, you know, is arguably one of the greatest 100-meter sprinters and 200-meter sprinters of all time. She hated track and field. She did not like it. She did not want to run track. And she had no desire, and just so happened a coach saw her running one day. I think that's how the story went, but I know she didn't like track and field. And she realized that she was good at it. And even though she was good at it, she still didn't like it. But she put in those 10,000 hours and built up on her skill set. And even when she won all those gold medals in the Olympics and, you know, World Games, she still didn't like track and field. At all. So I say that to say, like, everybody, you know, like you, I don't think you're the exception to any rules. Like, nobody is an anomaly. I just don't believe that. Because we have a lot of people, you know, in their 50s trying to figure out, hell, some people still trying to figure out what they're good at. And some people are clear about what they're good at, and they just don't, they have no desire to do it.
You know, when we were talking about the show, I was thinking about Colonel Sanders. I was, you know, he didn't become who he was till he was like 60-something, 70.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm not familiar with his story.
Yeah.
Thomas Edison was he was behind. He was basically considered slow when he was a kid, and, you know, they basically put him out of school because he was so slow and so far behind that, you know, they were just like, look, he's holding everybody back. And he didn't figure that out until his 20s, that what he really wanted, which was, you know, to be an inventor. But I guess for him it helped that he had failed at so much stuff, because that was one of his things, is that he wasn't afraid to fail.
Yeah, and his outlook on failure, and he never looked at himself as failing at something. There was this interview that a reporter did with him, and he said, "Nah, he just learns what not to do. That's it. He doesn't view it as failure. He just sees, okay, this is just something that doesn't work. I won't do this."
Yep.
So, yeah, but anyway, we're actually down to the last few minutes of the show. It looks like we have maybe 3 minutes left or something like that. So, yeah, actually, we have less than 3 minutes. We have about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. So I'd like to just say thank you to all the listeners for listening in. I really hope that, you know, you all got something out of our back and forth. I actually enjoy going back and forth with these guys. And like Wynn said, it's not often that we're in such disagreement. So I'll turn it over to the other elements. What do you want to say, Water, to take the listeners out?
Hey, like I said last time, whatever the mind can't conceive and believe, the mind can't achieve. Win.
Yeah, I just echo that and say if you want something and desire something, go for it. Be persistent. Focus on it, meditate on it. Pray for it. Put it on your wall, put it in your mirror. Put on your shirt, put on your hat, and just go for it. The only thing that I believe that limits any of us is our belief, our thinking. And practice makes perfect. Just keep going at it.
Yeah, I would just like to say that, whatever you believe that you can do, you declare that you can do, just be on the lookout for the opportunity to present itself, and not necessarily for the opportunity to present itself wrapped in a bow, or the experience of getting to what you want is going to be wrapped up in this nice, neat package. With a pretty red bow on top of it. It's just going to look how it looks. No one said they have to look a certain way. Just be present to that. And really, Matt, I just think it's just so vitally important to know yourself and to know, what your high skill sets are, what your middle skill sets are, what your low skill sets are, so that whatever you want to achieve, if it falls in the low realm, you can actually go to work on that, and you're clear, like, I'm really going to have to go to work on this to achieve whatever level that is that you set out to achieve. And I just think it's really clear. And knowing those things, and definitely I would say don't just go out and just wing it and say, oh, I just want to do this. I mean, knowing who you are is just vitally important in attempting to accomplish whatever you're out to accomplish. And just being clear about that. So thank you, everybody, for listening in. That's all I have to say. And so we're going to wrap up the show for tonight. Join us next week for another episode with the Four Elements. And we'll have another exciting topic. So everybody have a fantastic week. And just play around with what we've said. Just throw it around in your mind, or just actually go out and declare that you want to do something and watch how people – places and things show up for you around accomplishing that. All right, that's it for me. This is your boy Earth. Have a good night.